change. It's not good that we stay the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is that right? Okay, you can be seated now. You may be seated. Looks like I am the mystery speaker this morning. We dare not mention any names. Okay. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to begin with prayer. Father, we just thank you for this amazing and great opportunity that we have this morning to come into this house and, Lord, to be able to worship you in freedom. And, Lord, we just have a, you're just an amazing God, such a powerful God, such a mighty God. Lord, I just pray right now that you would fill me with your boldness. Fill me with your strength, Lord, so that I will boldly speak your word this morning in the name of Jesus. Thank you. It's been a while since I've spoke in front of people, so you're going to have to forgive me this morning. But when I'm not singing, I am not in my comfort zone. But I think it's important that we do get out of our comfort zone from time to time. So I'm going to do the best I can this morning. I am trying to keep my emotions in check because that's one of my nervous reactions. Either I'll get really goofy or I'll get a little weepy. We won't do that this morning. But just to begin, I would like just to say that, you know, in the last few years or whatever it has been, a couple of years since I've spoken, I've gone through some major changes and major transformations, and I've been on a, here we go, trying to weep. Stop that. And I've been on a journey, and the reason being is I came to a point in my life where I was tired of failure. I was tired. I'm not saying I'll never fail again. But you know these things that come up in your life that you continuously can't beat? Everybody has these things in your life where you just keep coming up against it and coming up against it, and you just can't beat it. So I decided one day, that's it. I more or less drew a line in the sand of my life. It's like it's now, or what's the purpose? I've been raised in a church all my life, as long as I can remember. I've been churched. What happens to us when we're pastors' kids? You know, begin to know the right things to say, and you know how to say it, and you're actually sometimes even confused. Am I saying that because I mean it? Or am I saying that because it's just a thing we do? And I realized that my life was a little bit on the fake side. And the most attractive people to me are the people that are true, the people that are real, the people that are genuine. I can't stand seeing a fake, so I can imagine what everybody else feels like, because I can't really see myself. I stand up here this morning and I think I look a certain way, and I think I'm presenting myself a certain way, but you are the ones who really see me. I can't see what I look like from the back. I've looked in the mirror and said, "Woo, not bad." No, just kidding. But I really was tired of failing, and I'm tired of being a fake. So I think God brings us to that place. And there's a holy dissatisfaction in your spirit that just won't go away. And this is what the message is going to be about this morning. I have this message is definitely not something I just got off the internet or something that I heard somebody else preach. This is a message that I am living now. This is what John Ten Brinke is going through right now. I've had a rough few years, I must admit. I realized that I would have to step back and possibly appear rougher and not as polished as I would hope that I was presenting myself. And I realized I had to step back. And because of that, just to become real and to become the real thing, it actually looked like I was going backwards. But quite literally, God was pulling me forward. So here's my opening statement. My message today, I was going to call it The Gospel According to John. But you probably wouldn't want to hear that gospel. My message is actually entitled Yesterday, Today, and Forever. And I started by saying, aren't you glad that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? And I also said, but we shouldn't be the same yesterday, today, and forever. So with that in mind, I want to say this. I believe that what happened to us yesterday, I'm just going to take a drink before I carry on here. Another nervous reaction is parched mouth. I believe that what happened to us yesterday has made us into what we are today. And then, of course, I also believe that what happens to us today will continue to make us into what we will become in the future. When I look at my own life, I realize that something has been at work in me since the day I was born that has made me into what I presently am. In some way, I am happy with the results, but in other ways, I find myself at the age of 43, a little messed, a little damaged, and actually a little amazed how that at my age I still struggle with things like insecurity, self-worth, wrong attitudes. I still struggle with my identity, and so on and so on and so on. You can fill in the blanks of your own life. So I wonder why. I want to figure out what's happening that's making me into what I am continually becoming, because we are continually becoming something. We are changing continuously. So that in the future, I can become the person I'm supposed to be. God has a plan for each one of us, and we're not there yet. We're slowly becoming more and more like we're supposed to be, hopefully. So part one of my message is yesterday. What about yesterday? I want to mention that the reason I picked yesterday, today, and forever is because we've all had a yesterday, we all have a today, and we're believing we all have a tomorrow. But what about yesterday has made me into what I have become right now? What has been going on since my life began that has shaped my life into its current manifestation? Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 1. Verse 1. I realize some of us don't bring one, and I normally just look up at the screen as well. Okay. It says, I'm just going to take the first little portion of it, and you could read the rest if you'd like. It says, in the beginning was the Word. Now, we've all heard that before. Matter of fact, there isn't much we say up here that you haven't heard before. All these verses and things, you're very familiar with them. But it says, in the beginning was the Word. We must all realize that everything had a beginning. Right? So, the earth had a beginning. God had no beginning. He's talking about something other than Himself here. But in the beginning, in our beginning, was the Word. That's what it says. The Word. You understand? The Word was there. Everything that is had a beginning. And could it be that everything that is began with the Word? So, I want to put these away because it's a little distracting. When we look back and we see the beginning, and the only thing that was the Word, where did we come from? We came from the Word. I asked Jody and she said we came from the dust. But the dust is the Word. It came from the Word, right? We all came from the Word. If you will look back through Genesis, God, many times we could hear God say, and it was. God said, and it was. What did He say? He said words, right? What do you say? We say words. Is that correct? I believe that everything that exists is really made out of words. And not just any old words, but words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God. Here's something for you. He said, and when I think about this, you're going to have to think about this with me and get as excited as I am. This is the statement of all statements in the Bible that I truly appreciate the most of all that's been said for me. God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. What if He wouldn't have said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness? In those words right there is us. In the beginning was the Word. That's amazing to me. Think about it for a moment. God said, let us make man. Here we are. We are His Word. And we became flesh. Are you getting this? Because I don't see any dancing. Let us, God said, make man in our image. In that word, man is everything that we are. It's in that word right there. Man. Let us make man. And then He was nice. He could have just made a man. But He said, and also let's make him in our likeness, in our image. In other words, we are words. I said words, not nerds. I said words, not worms. We are words. Look at me. Everything about me, God spoke, and I am. I don't know if you want to stand up and just take a look around yourself. Every cell, every bone, every ligament came There. Let us make man. I'm a word. Did you know you were a word? Help me out here. I'm a worship leader. I need a little help. Praise God. We are words. I believe the origin of everything, including man, is words. God's perfect and uncorrupted words. Uncorrupted. When He made us, we weren't corrupted. Page 2. Out of 4. I am a tall guy that's going to try to be short today. Anyways, what happened to us then? Something went wrong. I'll go back to my opening statement. Struggling with insecurity. Struggling with all the things we, most of us, struggle with. Not knowing who I am, identity. Everything like that. This is what happened. Adam and Eve listened to and allowed corrupted words. Words. What did Satan do? He spoke to us. He said what? Words. He said words. Right? But this is where the trouble started, because what he did is he took God's words, because he didn't have his own. He didn't invent words. Nothing. Satan is not a creator. Everything that's on this earth today is created by God. The only thing that makes it look bad and we'd say, oh, that wasn't from God, is that Satan has taken it and twisted it. And he's made it into something deformed. And you could throw in more adjectives. And corrupted. That's what he does. He just takes words and twists them. When we communicate one to another, I see this all the time. I'll say one thing to one person, and they'll move and say something. And through that process, the story that I said, yeah, maybe you could recognize it a little bit, but it's been just kind of altered. Not intentionally, but Satan intentionally takes words and twists them. Health, the word health, because we had nothing but health, became sickness. Because he was able to twist the words. There's a pile of words. I don't want to get ahead of myself here, so let's just stay in line. They allowed corrupt words to enter their hearts, and this is where the trouble began. These are the kind of words, negative words. There was no negative words before they received them into the earth. There was no such thing as a negative word. How many of us speak negative words? You have to listen to yourself sometimes. Maybe record yourself. Because you don't hear it anymore. Words like kill weren't there before. Steal wasn't there before. Destroy wasn't there before. Selfishness wasn't there before. See, selfless became selfish. That's what he did with that word, selfless. Selfishness. There's a lot of words that didn't have the word less in it, added to it, that became part of our language. These words weren't there before. Thorns came, but along with the thorns, maybe we haven't talked about this much, but also came these words. A lot of them. Words like sufficient became insufficient. There was no insufficiency of any kind. Body, soul, or spirit. Nobody was diminished in their mind. Nobody was diminished in their bodies. Nobody was diminished in their spirit. These are words that came in. Secure became insecure. And so on and so on and so on and so on. I can keep you here all day. But this is the thing, they were lied to. Corrupt words entered through lies. We can almost title all corrupt words lies. Can't we? Am I standing too much on this side? This is probably why God hates a lying tongue. He doesn't hate the liar. He hates lies. We've got to separate that. You lied. God hates you. No, He doesn't. He hates lies because through the lies come the corruption. You believe things about yourself today that are lies. I'll mention no names, but a certain person I know very dearly would say, I'm fat. Not me. They are fat. Right? I can look and I don't see it. But I didn't mean my wife. There are so many lies about us out there. We even lie to one another. I don't think we intentionally do it, but we do. A creation made of uncorrupted words was infiltrated with corrupted words, and the struggle began. How many know what I'm talking about? When we could see what the impact of corrupted words have had on our once perfect world, I want to word this right so they think I read it wrong. We can see what the impact of corrupted words have had on our once perfect world. And it only makes sense that these words are still at work to kill, steal, and destroy everything that God created. Satan hates God and he just likes to wipe him out. And the only way he can do that is through words. He can't physically. The only thing he can do is could it be that this is my problem today? Words. Just words. Just words. Just words. Could words be what has made me into what I have become today? If I am made out of words, what impact? Here I am, a word. I'm actually a living word. I'm not the living word, but I am a living word. Okay? Jesus is the living word that became flesh. But we too are a word that became flesh. If I am made of words, what impact would words have on me? So here we got a word walking around this planet. And these words, good words come too. Let's not be completely negative here. There are very good words. That's why I'm kind of conflicted. I'm conflicted because I have these good words and I have these corrupted words dwelling in the same place, which is my heart. Okay, part two. We talked about yesterday, so we all understand how we got to where we are today. Today is point number two. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. There we go. It says, keep or guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Okay, that first verse I said that I just thought was so amazing. The one where God said, "Let us make man." This one is very close to being the same to me, because if I would have known better, see, we're kind of born into this world and we got to figure stuff out. We don't know, right? I didn't know when I was a little kid that I shouldn't have taken certain things to heart. I had no idea. I had to figure that out myself. I'm just learning it now, actually. People say things to me, and sometimes if it's the right person, I just fling the door of my heart wide open, and I let it come in. But here it says, to guard your heart with all diligence. To guard it. Actually, I think this was, if you want to define what we are to do in life, we're called, everybody's called to do something for God, but I think if we did this, if we guarded our hearts with all diligence, because it says, because out of it spring the issues of life. So, the only words that are coming out, and the only life that's coming out of me, the only thing, the way it has to get in there. Right? So the way I am, the words I speak today, the way I act, everything I do was something that was deposited into my heart. And same with you. Guard my heart from what? That's why I read this for years and just thought, oh, guard my heart. All diligence. But we're to guard our heart from words. What else could it be? It has to be words. What else can get in there? It had to be some kind of communication. That's the only thing, the only way. They say the only way to a man's heart is through his stomach. No. The only way is through words. That's the only way to get in here. But one day, if you're born again, there were some good words that got in there, right? And changed you. And now you are alive, and your spirit is alive. And that's words that you heard that did that. No other thing did that. Guarding my heart is what I should have been doing all along. But ignorantly, I left the door of my heart unguarded and let the corrupted words and lies about me and about others just flow in, not knowing that they were negatively impacting everything about me, not realizing how much they were forming my thoughts about myself and others in my life. My job is, and really always has been, to diligently guard over the words that I allow to enter my heart, because these are the words that are continuously making me into who I am. These are the words. And I need to diligently guard over the words that I allow to exit my heart. How do they get out? How do they get out of your heart? Through words. They come in through words, and the word it gets out through my mouth. And a big one is, you could say a lot without even opening your mouth. Right? I could say, "You're not crazy." But my body language says everything, that you are crazy. You know what I mean? So my body language, this is a big one. We say so much through our attitude. It is unbelievable. It actually, they say actions speak louder than words, which is very true. If you have a pulse, you'll know what I mean. Like, I could tell my wife I love her, but if I don't act like a lover, what am I really saying? So actions, actually, here's a cool thing about humans. We could say nothing. At the right time, we could say nothing, and we end up saying something. So, what is your body made of words? What is it saying? Makes sense. Our bodies are words. So obviously, the words are spewing out in every direction. Right? Okay, where was I? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. I don't hear any rattling paper. Back when I was younger, whenever the preacher said, turn in the Bible, you'd hear this sound of all these pages turning. Don't you love digital? It's so much easier. I brought this today. But my iPod is my Bible now. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Has no corrupt communication. Problem is, there's so much corrupt communication in here, it's hard. When I get a little agitated, what wants to come out? Words. Words that I've put in there and put in there and put in there. But it says, let no corrupt communication. You know what? I can't do that on my own. I can't. I got to go to God in prayer over that. I work with some people. They probably heard a few. I'm not saying swear words, but I mean, you hang around long enough and there are corrupt words that come out of all of our mouths. Right? But God says, let no, N-O, that's a word. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. This verse lines up with Proverbs 4:23. It said to guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Everything that you see, the issues of me. This verse completely backs that one up. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good. Good words. But what are the good words? That's the question, because some words sound good. Have you ever heard something that sounded good? Yeah? Yeah? You lie? It sounded good, but it really wasn't good. Even in just the attitude that it was said, the words might have been good, but I think you got my point there. Good words are more powerful than corrupt words. That's the thing. So, if I can get enough good words, the bad words have to go out. Right? Good is far more powerful than evil. So I want to just put that in context, because so many people think there's this battle going on between good and evil. Good and evil. And there is a battle going on between good and evil. But if good wanted to, it could just evil just like that. It says God is good. says there's no evil in God, right? So good, far more powerful than evil, right? The same goes with our words. The good words, far more powerful than evil words. Don't fall asleep on me. Okay, 1 Corinthians. Let's start our new job today. Let's guard our hearts and watch as it changes not only us, but those all around us. It's amazing if you just think about what it can do. I know what it's doing in me. I'm living this right now. If you could see me, I am watching the words that are coming in big time right now. Just, I'm not saying none will get in there because I'm not perfect. But right now I'm watching the words that are coming in, and I'm only allowing the good ones. I only take those ones to heart now. Because, well, I'm going to get to another part in a little while, but I'm just about done. The tall guy is going to be short. Okay, 1 Corinthians, this is the part 3 forever. It says, and these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Now, previously in this verse, if you read it, I'm not going to take the time to do it right now, it says how all these other things will pass away. Tongues and kingdoms and whatever. Everything will pass away. But these three things will remain: faith, hope, and love. These three words will remain: faith, hope, and love. Three categories of words: faith words, hope words, and love words. Were there any other words besides those before the fall? Every word that was spoken previously before the corruption started was words of faith, words of hope, and words of love. That's it. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good. The good words are these three: faith words, hope words, and love words. These three remain. So there is coming a time in the future, we're not there yet, that we anticipate when again the world will only have three kinds of words: faith words, hope words, and love words. I believe that these three words make up everything that God created. Everything. We are made out of faith, hope, and love words. The animals are made of faith, hope, and love words. The trees, the flowers, everything God created. This is the essence of all that lives: faith, hope, and love words. Now, are we supposed to wait until that day to begin disciplining ourselves to only faith words, hope words, and love words? I know the day when it actually ends. I know exactly the day. There will be no other words but those. It says when death is swallowed up in victory. Whew. Can you see that day? I love to teach the world to see the perfect harmony. That day? That's perfect harmony. We can't live in perfect harmony. We can't live in perfect harmony if we have anything but faith, hope, and love. Now sometimes love words seem hard because they're words sometimes that we don't want to hear. Right? God corrects those. He loves, but He corrects us with words of faith and hope and love. So that's the cool thing. So, we have something to look forward to. I'm just wondering, what would happen in our lives if today I've made a decision. There's some choices we make in life. I made some for my body probably just over a year ago. I said, enough's enough. I made some life choices. Not some temporary choices until I lose weight. That's what I wanted to do. That was my goal. I made a life choice. You will never see me out of shape again. That's my words. And I say those words with the power of God, because I can't do those words on my own. I will stay in shape. But I'm not... That's just me. I'm talking about my own personal life. But this too is a life choice. Because I am in Christian circles all the time. I'm around all different kinds of people and I hear it. I hear Christians saying things about other Christians. And there's negativity. And there's corrupt words. Not necessarily intentional, because they're in here. That's why they keep coming out. So the thing is, if you were to take a bucket of water, and let's just call the water your words. Okay? If we were to take a bucket of water, if I was John, I would probably have brought a bucket and some water. I am John. What am I talking about? I would have brought a bucket and showed you this. But just say you have a bucket full of dirty, stinky water. Oh, dirty, stinky sewage. Just make it the most rotty water you can think of, because basically that's what those corrupt words are like. It stinks. And if we were to pour a little bit of pure water, okay, the water being words, if we were to just take a little bit of pure water, actually, that dirty water, even though it might still look just as dirty, is actually getting purer. It's less dirty. So, this is what my job is, if you were to visualize it. My job is to watch, because there's one bucket in the middle. Just when you're born, actually, it was a nice, clean bucket, full of fresh, clean water. And there wasn't really any corruption in there, because you really didn't get it. You didn't get nothing. Just your dinner and a diaper change. So you got two buckets in the world going on. Let's make this bucket black. And this bucket over here white. Okay? These are God's words. These are words that originated in Satan. Got it? Okay. So, when you were born, words, a little bit of words started trickling in, right? But you didn't know any better. So, whatever got in, got in. Now, if you had a praying parents or whatever, and they're praying and believing God that they won't, my kids won't be corrupted, and they're watching over, but maybe that didn't happen. But even in this world, I really believe, no matter what, you're going to get some of it in there. But as you mature, going to get better. And then some of this comes in there, but you're a conflicted person now because you got two buckets going on. Until one day you come to yourself, which is today, and you decide from now on that bucket isn't going to be a part of my life. That's my choice. How many want to make that choice? But you don't have to raise your hand. That bucket's gone. I made the decision. Now, I might still see the bucket and all that, and I might still see the pollution all around me. But as far as I'm concerned, that is not being poured into my heart anymore. Then I got this pure bucket, and I've already polluted, but I begin just to allow those ones in. Eventually, the dirty water becomes cleaner and cleaner and cleaner and cleaner until it's just completely crystal clear. Now, because the words that are in there come out, sometimes we look hypocritical because there's two words coming out. Can we help ourselves? No, because we're pulling out of here. Right? We're pulling out of our heart. So we almost at times look like hypocrites. Because you say one thing, well, that's the side you really want to be like. You want to be like that pure side. But you are corrupted in some way. So at times, but God wants to purify us. See, He gave us a new covenant, right? The old one, the old law has passed away. And He's given us a new covenant. And what is a covenant? It's words. It's a contract is made up of words. He's given us a new contract. He wants to pour that into our lives and purify us and purify us and purify us. So that's my goal. I think that's our job. What if we were to do that? What if we were to make that? I know I truck and I work on trailers. I know that. But no matter where you're trucking, you're talking throughout your day. Your life is really about speech. When I'm a mechanic, I get people coming in all the time. What I say then, my life is really about being the guard of my heart. What if, I'm wrapping up in like 3 minutes, what if we did that? What would be the impact on our lives and on the lives of people around us? I guarantee your home, your community, and the world around us would be impacted in amazing ways if you would just speak the good words. And to finish it up, the only way we're going to be able to speak nothing but good words is if we fill ourselves with faith words, hope words, and love words. We'll see the biggest revival that we've dreamed about if we will just become a guard of our hearts. Guard. That's what we are. Spirit that I've been given to guard over is my job. No matter what I do. Sing, truck, sell cars, bake, sweep floors, butcher. Do you butcher? Just go butcher. No matter what I do, it's what it's all about. Guard it. Fill it up. The only way you're going to fill your heart, you got to actually open it up or listen to it, whatever way gets it in there. Fill it up. Don't just hear it. You got to understand it. That's how things get in our heart, through understanding. You can hear it all day, but unless it gets into your heart, that's the thing. It's got to get in your heart. And the only way to get in your heart is you got to understand it and you have to believe it. So those are the two things we have to settle. Why read 25 chapters and go then just to read one or two or three verses in context and walk away changed. And never forget to invite the Holy Spirit, the teacher, to your Bible readings. All of a sudden, things will begin to come clear to you. Well, you know what? You know all that. I think you knew all of this. Quite truthful. We all knew it. So let's do it. I can't wait to see the results. And I'm out there and I'm listening. And I don't care what you say about me. I don't have to take it. I say to Jody sometimes, when somebody brings you a truckload of crap, you don't have to take it. That's true. You do not have to receive words. What if the whole church called me fat? Well, there might be truth to it, but that's not the truth about you. Right? What if the whole church called me stupid? What if everybody called me stupid? What if everybody looked at me like I was stupid? What would the impact? You got to make a decision to guard your heart with all diligence. Are you glad I'm done? Am I short? Did that seem long? See, I became a mechanic about a year and a half ago or more, maybe. I can't remember. Just to finish the story. When I first started, I wasn't the best one in the world. But there was a line that I always used. I said, I'll only get better. And guess what? I have. You'll only get better if you keep practicing and exercising. Amen? Okay. I don't know what to do now, but if you have need of any prayer, I guess the prayer room is...